Yes.
I literally sat here when you said that, like, well, great. There goes 6 years of reading that I didn't do with a group that I loved. This is a very informative book fair podcast for me. Like, I have that email in my email. Why did I not do that? I was like, it's a mystery. No one gave me the book. I don't know what to do.
Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content, and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
Hello, Book Fair world, and welcome to another thrilling episode of Book Fair Podcast. Today, we are talking about book clubs. We have had several people talk about maybe starting a book club this new year, and so we thought we would address that today, how to start a book club. So most of our focus is going to be today on in real life book clubs. Obviously, our Book Fair community is a kind of online book club. We are reading some books together throughout the year, and there are lots of other great online and podcast book communities, but those are easy to join. It does not take any, you know, coaching to know how to do that. So we are going to talk about in real life. Elizabeth, what do you like about our in real life book club?
I love that it is not exactly one sort of person that's there. There are different ages, there's different life phases, and it's just people who really wanted to come together for a little bit of a push type of a book, I think is how I would say it. When I joined our book club, I remember thinking that I was in a brand new phase of life. I was newly married. I was suddenly not working for the first time in, like, literally since I was 12 years old. Not that being a wife and mom is not work, but I was in a really new phase of life, and I wanted an intellectual outlet to kind of keep my brain working. And I knew I could read books on my own, but I wanted the discourse that came from that. And so that's what I've loved about ours. That's also what made it challenging when I had Nate. I didn't have the bandwidth for it. I could read fluff on my own, but I couldn't. But I was so glad when I was able to come back to it again for the same reasons, the little bit of a push.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for sure easier to tackle something you've kind of been wanting to tackle, but maybe you're a little bit intimidated by, or maybe aren't super excited about, like just magnetically drawn to on your own when a group of you is doing it together. And that was the reason this book club was founded was, I remember having a conversation with a friend and just saying, like, there's this list of books I've always wanted to read. I've always wanted to read War and Peace. I've always wanted to read Crime and Punishment. I've always wanted to fill in some of these classics that I've never read and just things I've heard really good things about, but that I know I'm going to want to talk about with somebody. And she said, me too. And so we started gathering people who we thought would want to do that. So
yeah, you don't need to talk about, you know, your silly, whatever we're calling it, about the books for hours and hours and think about what it means. It doesn't mean you don't enjoy it, but you don't need a partner for that. It just fills your heart, puts a band-aid on whatever's going on, and then you go to sleep, and then tomorrow you need another one.
Yeah.
But when you're wanting to read a book that asks questions or changes you or conflicts you, you have to do that with a partner, I feel like.
Yeah.
I guess they have to. I'm like making a law there, but I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Amanda, what's your favorite thing about book club?
Well, there's just no substitute for conversation and the exchange of ideas than in person. You can't replicate that. I mean, a lot of times I still can't make it in person just because of health stuff. And I've tried, sometimes I get on like via Zoom or something like that. And that's certainly better than nothing. But it's not the same. And there's just no substitute for it. You know, getting to see people, really see their eyes and body language and hugs and the food and the camaraderie.
Warmth.
Like,
you can't get that warmth online.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when people are disagreeing, there's a warmth about a good book club.
Yeah. And I want to say, I think it's worth mentioning here, especially if they're new listeners, that the three of us are in an In Real Life book club together. And Trisha has been leading that group for over a decade. And we've, and we have had lots of requests that we do an episode about this. And so I'm really excited that we're talking about it, because it's really helpful to just have some guidance to like learn what's worked. And so Trisha is a great resource for this. And I'm glad we're talking about it.
Thanks, Amanda. So I'm just, you know, I made some just notes and we're just going to kind of go through them. What came to my mind about how to get started, and you guys just jump in whenever you want to. So in my mind, the first step to starting a book club, and I will put these in the show notes as well, so you don't have to frantically take notes, is to decide what kinds of books you want to read. So in our case, part of our purpose was to read some classics, some literary books that we'd always wanted to read, some modern classics, maybe like Life of Pi or Atonement, along with older classics. So when we talked about it with people, yes, we talked about we're going to have fun, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But we also said we're going to do a mix of classics and lighter fare. So we wanted people to know that if you just hate the idea of ever reading a classic book, this is probably not for you. Like if you're like, I am never going to read something that's older than 30 years, then this is probably not your book club, which is fine.
Because there's a lot of kinds of book clubs out there. This is just what you were forming. Yeah.
Exactly. And there are people that have mystery book clubs or romance book clubs or historical fiction, politics, history. Yes, self-help, more kind of things. So all of that can be great. But if you, as the person who is wanting to start a book club, I think the first decision to make is, what kind of books do I want to read? Or do I even really care? Like, there are some people who just are like, I'd be happy to read any book with a group of friends. I'm just going to get a group of friends together who wants to read, and we'll just decide what we're going to read. And I'm cool with anything, which is also great. But if you do have something you specifically want to tackle, you want to know that up front, and you want to know that when you're talking to people so that they don't think they're coming to one thing and then it turns out it's something else.
The bait and switch.
Yeah. So a couple ways you could do this too is calling people you think might be interested in a book club, put a feeler out on social media, just post on your Facebook or Instagram, thinking about starting a book club. Who in the area is interested? See what pops up, see what interest you get, and then you could ask those people, would you be interested in these kind of books? Would you be interested in these kind of books? And just see what you get back. Okay, point number two, after you've decided what, if any, focus in content your book club is going to have. Number two, plan something fun that you're going to do along with the book discussion. So for our book club, this has always been themed food. So along with discussing the book, we always plan a potluck style meal around the book, whether it is the setting of the book, probably the most often if it takes place in France or England or Russia or Africa, we theme the food to the book. I have discovered some of the most wonderful recipes that I make over and over by doing experiments for dinners for book club. I have this Brazilian chicken recipe that I love now.
That was so good.
Yeah, it was so good.
I was at that one, and I remember that was a Candace Millard, Teddy Roosevelt book.
Yes,
that was River of Doubt.
River of Doubt. Yes, his Teddy Roosevelt's Journey Down the Amazon. So we had never done Brazilian food, so we did Brazilian food, and it was amazing. So it's so much fun, and it just gives you something else fun to do, to engage in, and it kind of gives your time together just something.
Another anchor.
Yeah. And just something that's fun. Like, you know, even if the book is serious, the food is fun. Uh-huh. So I know book clubs that do food. I know book clubs that do games. Like they always have someone bring some kind of game related to the book. And we do that sometimes when we're feeling ambitious.
Trivia.
Yeah. We've done different trivia and book related games. And we've done holiday themed games around holidays and that kind of thing. But I'm sure there are endless possibilities. I know some book clubs are really into wine. They like to pair wine with what they're doing. That's never really been our thing, but for some people, that's a fun kind of second thing. So whatever floats your boat, but it does kind of give another enticement and another anchoring thing for the community. So I really recommend that you put something else with the book. It also just kind of gives you a purpose for getting together in person, mm-hmm. you know, because if you're mm-hmm. just going to talk about the book for 45 minutes,
it can be easy.
Yeah, it could be easy for someone to say, well, why am I going to take my night and go to this? But when you've been planning an amazing Brazilian menu for 2 weeks, you want to go. Number three, research with the people who have already expressed interest in your book club, the people you've been chatting with, the best time to have it. This is very important, simple, but important. We have landed on Friday nights at our book club, and whenever we try to change it, it doesn't go well. It's just the best time for our people. And sometimes I'm like, well, this Friday night, a couple of Friday nights aren't available. Let's do a Saturday morning.
No one comes.
It just doesn't work. So find a time, and it may be a weeknight for your people. That may be when they can get away, when, you know, they can put their kids to bed and their husbands are fine to stay home with them. Or, you know, it may be Saturday mornings, or I know book clubs that meet for more working professionals that meet in the morning, like over breakfast. Mm-hmm. Find a time that works for your people. And you may need to experiment with that a little bit in the beginning, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, before you set the time for the first meeting, talk to some people and then be diligent about figuring out what's going to work for your group. Okay. Number four, make personal invitations. So we all know there's power in posting on social media. A lot of people can see it. You may never know who sees it. There may be people who are interested you wouldn't have ever thought would be interested, and that's great. But we all see a million invitations. We scroll by them. We may not engage them. Someone even who might be interested might see a random social media post and for whatever random reason think it's not for them, mm-hmm. or may not think that they're welcome for whatever reason. So make the effort of doing personal invitations for anyone that you think even might remotely be interested and you would love to have. Send texts, make actual phone calls. Call somebody. Leave an actual voice message and say, I am starting a book club and I was thinking about you. I would really love for you to come and join us.
Because I love conversation with you.
Yes.
Like, that's what it's got to be about.
Yes. There mm-hmm. is so much impersonal mass communication that a personal invitation goes a long way.
My thoughts are also with a social media post, you're only going to get extroverts, which I'm an extrovert, but that's only one kind of a conversation, you know? You're not going to get those people who are just going to like jump into a new space, maybe. That would be my guess. And so then your conversation is not as rich. Like, you're really seeking out what's going to add to this conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So yeah, don't just make a social media post and then sit back and be sad that no one responded. Number five, pick the first book. Now, this is important because you want something that is not intimidating, that is attractive to the people you are trying to bring in, that is available for hopefully not a lot of money, and that people will be drawn to. So for our first meeting in our Classics Book Club, we picked Emma by Jane Austen. So it was fun. It's a funny book. A lot of people have read Jane Austen. A lot of the people that came had read Jane Austen before, or if they hadn't, they'd always wanted to. They'd seen the movie. They'd always wanted to read the book. And we had like 25 people show up to our first meeting because Whoa. They were excited and it was an easy book to read. And then at that first meeting, we talked about what we were going to do, and we could kind of rope them in with the vision of how great it was going to be after we got them there for a really great first book. It was also really fun to do food for, because in Emma, you know, they have the picnic on the hill and they drink tea. So we had like picnicky and British high tea food, which was super fun. Everyone was all excited to make their finger sandwiches and bring all their favorite kinds of tea and all the fun things. So it just made for a really great first book. So whatever your genre is, I would say do not pick the most challenging, controversial, expensive, difficult to find. You want to remove the barriers for the first book so that people can come and experience it. I would say try to not do something that's too long.
Well, the idea is you want to walk up the hill together. You don't want to just like meet at the top. You want to like, okay, we're going to do it. Let's ascend.
Yes. I love the way you put that. So pick an accessible first book. Point number five. Point number six, when you have your first meeting, have fun. Don't make it. It's a rule to have fun. Don't like make it so serious. Like, now we are going to have book club. Now we are going to discuss this very meaningful literature. There is a time in book club for sure for good, deep conversation. And that will come. But make sure you plan something that is fun. Because if it's not fun, people are not going to come back. So have fun, but also ask good questions. So if it's you, if you are leading the first book, maybe do some Googling. Pretty much any book now, if you spend a little time, you can find someone who's written discussion questions. So if you're not comfortable coming up with discussion questions, you can find some online that can get you going. But ask some good, thought-provoking, interesting questions that will have people seeing, oh, this is why I come to book club, because we're going to talk about really interesting things and I'm going to see perspectives from different people that I wouldn't have gotten if I just read this by myself. So either you or someone else bring some good questions.
One question, and I haven't quoted Andrew Kern in a while, so it's time. but his favorite question he says to ask is, should he have done that? That is a great conversation starter and makes you think. And another great question is, what are some of your favorite quotes from the book? And that's real easy. A great source for questions is Read Aloud Revival. Sarah McKenzie, the website, you can go to readaloudrevival.com. She's even made bookmarks. And it's for how to ask your kids questions, but it's how to ask anybody. These questions are good for any age. Yeah,
to make that's a great discussion. Resource.
Yeah.
I always start, the first question is always, it's become kind of a tradition, what did we think of the book? And that sounds really obvious.
But the ball rolling.
It does. And people can either say, and if no one kind of responds, I'll be like, did you like it? Did you not like it?
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. And then you say, well, then why? If you hated it, why did you hate it? It's okay to hate it. Why did you hate it? And get the ball rolling with that. Another really easy question is about a specific character. I love that. Should he have done that or she have done that? But also, did you like this character? What was likable about them? What did you not like about them? That's also another good one.
A selling point for me that I will never forget is of why to come to a book club and not just read a book on your own. I read Atonement with our book club, and I had a character all wrong in my mind. And I would have forever loved the book, but had a character very wrong. And so the character was the mother who had some sort of unnamed illness. Well, now in my life, I have had many friends who have had unnamed illnesses that they battled with. At the time I read it, I could not fathom why she didn't just get out of the bed and go be a parent. And I remember when you said, what did you think of the mother? I was like, I do not understand. And I kind of went on a little rant, not knowing that I was in a room of people who were living with some unnamed illnesses. And what a growth moment that was for me to see someone else's perspective and how gentle people in the room were with me, though they did disagree. And I just thought I would have never gotten that on my own. I would have never been able to see. She didn't have whip headaches. She had, I don't know, medicine is not caught up to where I am, but I still love my kids. And I'm straining to hear what's going on downstairs because I'm worried about my kids, but I'm also miserable. I never would have seen that perspective had I not been in the room with people who had lived a similar thing and could see that character that way. And it was a simple question. What'd you think of the mom? And what a growth moment.
I can't believe you remember that. That was in 2009.
I love that you know what year we read that book. I have no idea. I just know it was a long time ago.
I love that both of you remembered both of those things.
So now, I'm years later, I have lupus. I have many friends that have like bigger illnesses. Both of you have sat through a big illness journey. I didn't know about that at the time. I couldn't see that. I read the same book you read, but totally misconstrued a character. And I'm so glad I got to talk about it with somebody so that I could see the richness that that character was actually bringing. So you have to have people willing to disagree with you a little bit, gently.
Yeah, and it's okay if people disagree. Like if you're someone that has trouble with that, it's okay if they disagree. And it's okay if they don't like the book you picked. Like, don't take it personally. Not everybody's going to like every book. And if they did, that would be weird. So it's not about you. It's okay.
One of the best discussions we ever had, we read over one summer. We always do, we take a break for the summer and read a long book. So the only time we ever read a book over 450 pages is once a year over the summer. And one year we did Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin, which is about Lincoln's presidency and how his philosophy of governance was to have people in his cabinet to essentially keep everyone that had disparate opinions close to him and to always have people close to him who didn't agree with him. He had a couple of supporters with him too, but he was constantly surrounded by his rivals. Hence the name of the book, Team of Rivals. So it was about Lincoln's presidency and his method of leadership. It was fascinating. Well, we got to book club and one of our friends, and she had done a lot of other research on the Civil War. And it's very near the beginning of the book. She just said, I don't like Lincoln. I don't think he should have gone to war with the South. I think he should have just let them secede. And you should have seen everyone's eyes were like, what? What do you mean?
Oh, and snap.
It was the best discussion because she had done a lot of reading and a lot of research and she laid out what she thought and it was fascinating. And we had the best discussion about history and leadership and when should you force people to do the right thing and when do you let them go their own way. And it was one of the best discussions we ever had because someone brought an opinion.
I love unpopular opinions.
Yeah.
I love them. If we're agreeing on everything, I'm probably not talking to you anymore. And like, what am I benefiting here?
Yeah. Hot takes can be really fun and exciting.
Yeah. I love that story, Trisha. I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing. All right. Number seven. Big number seven, and the last one. Decide on a way you are going to pick books going forward. So there are two main ways I know of that book clubs pick books. One is every month they decide what they're going to read the next month. They all sit there and they say, what do we want to read now? Whether they have a genre they stay in or whether they jump around, the members bring ideas and they all just kind of talk about it and they just decide, which is great. You can totally do it that way. We do not do it that way. What we do is we have a meeting where everyone comes and essentially pitches books that they would like our book club to read. So you're allowed to bring up to five because some people don't bring any. And you pitch to the group why you think our book club should read this book. So it's actually a super fun meeting because people bring these books that they're really excited and passionate about and get their like 3 to 5 minutes to try to convince the group to vote for their book.
Oh, and my word. These are my favorite times in life. These are so fun, these meetings.
And people ask questions. Like people will throw things out and then people ask questions. Well, is it about this? What's the tone like? How long is it? How did it make you feel? Like people ask questions about it because you have to decide which books you're going to vote for. So we have all the books typed up on a list and then everybody votes yes, no, or indifferent on all the books that are brought. And then whatever gets the most positive votes, we pick 12 to 14, and that gets us through the next couple of years. So like I said, we do a long book every summer. Every Christmas, we don't assign a book. Over the Thanksgiving Christmas holiday, we just let people read whatever they want. And then we come back together in January and talk about whatever book we've read, which is also really fun to just hear what everybody's been reading. And then the rest of the year, when we meet in the fall and spring, about every 5 weeks, we assign a book from that list that we've already voted on. This is why I like having a list. One, people have the list in advance and they can be looking for the books. So for people that are really budget conscious, they're not scrambling. They can start looking for them in book sales or good deals for used books online. They know over the next 2 years what it is we're going to be reading. Two, we can then schedule the books. We can kind of alternate. Like we alternate heavier things with lighter things. Like when you're trying to read classics and things sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes that have some weight to them, they can be sad or they can be a little bit heavy, but we don't want to do two heavy books in a row. So we do have times when we want to push ourselves a little bit, but we also want to alternate that with things that are a little bit lighter and easier to read. So we can take those 12 to 14 books and say, oh, we're going to do Remains of the Day, but after we do Remains of the Day, we're going to do Once Upon a River, which is more of a fairy tale mystery. So we can kind of alternate things and we can fit them into the time schedule we have. So when we decide, sometimes we meet every 4 weeks, sometimes it's six, sometimes it stretches to 7 or 8 just because of people's schedules or the spring and like May is crazy. So we wind up just having one meeting the beginning of June. And we can say, oh, this book's 450 pages and we're going to have 7 weeks. This is a perfect time to read that. So it kind of allows us to fit the books we want to read into time and space and alternating. Sometimes season, we're like, we should really read this book in the fall. Or we read The Enchanted April in the spring. That was a good decision. So we work collaboratively to make a list and then work through it over the next 2 years. Do you guys still like that, the way that we do that?
Yeah, I want to tell you, I'm in this book club, but my mind is blown at the idea that I could have taken that list and go ahead and research where I was going to get the books from. Because that was the whole hang up when I had Nate. I could not get the books. Like, I would go to the ones if I already had it or if I just found it or, like, during the time when I, like, lived right around the corner from the library, I would come. And then we moved up here and I had Nate and I, like, couldn't figure out how to get books. This was not a mountain. But then I just quit coming to book club for a while and it was literally... You just fixed it in a sentence. Why didn't I say, I'm having trouble figuring out how to get the books? I'm so embarrassed right now. It's baby brain. I think we'll just give me that and move on.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I literally sat here when you said that, like, well, great. There goes 6 years of reading that I didn't do with a group that I loved. This is a very informative book fair podcast for me.
Elizabeth, great. Absolutely baby brain card. Totally valid.
We love our Elizabeth so much.
That is a sad thing.
So, Tricia, I think this is a great list. I want to ask you, what is an ideal number range of people to attend in person for the purposes of good conversation?
So I would say ideal is probably between 5 and 15. So if it's less than 5, if you only have 3 or 4, now there have been seasons in book club when people were busy and having babies. And there was one time I thought we were going to have to shut down because shout out to our friends Bette and Angela Reed, who was driving down from Gainesville. And there were a couple of meetings in a row one fall where it was just the three of us. And I was like, our book club is dying. I was so sad. And that just felt a little bit sad. Like three people, you know. But if you can keep 4 or 5, you can have a really good discussion. Now, I will say, just like anything in life, no one is going to be able to come all the time. There's sickness, there's vacation, there's schedule conflicts. So if you want to have a minimum of 4 or 5 people, you probably need at least 9 in your club because there are just going to be times when people can't come. I would say right now, I send our Evite. I still do our things through Evite because I've been doing it for years and I've never transitioned to anything else. That's where I have my list. I send out, I think we have 16 or 17 people on the Evite list right now. 3 or 4 of them probably only come a couple times a year. And then we probably have what I would call active members in like the 15 range. And we tend to have between 7 and 11 people show up to a meeting, which is really perfect. Like if I could keep it at this size forever, I would be happy. It's a really great size to have. You need a core group of people who are going to commit to coming every time and who are going to make it top on their calendar. Because the reality is, if it's third or fourth or fifth priority in your calendar, you're never going to come, or you're going to come once or twice a year when it just happens to be convenient. So you need some people who are going to come and plan their schedule around it, who it's important to. You need about 8 people who are going to say, this is important to me. I'm going to make it to 90% of the meetings. Okay. One point about book clubs I want to make before we close, I'm going to toss it to Amanda, is that I have had several people tell me that joining a book club, whether it's ours or someone else's, was a huge part of them finding community and a sense of home and belonging when they moved somewhere new.
Yeah.
And there are books like At Home in the World by Tish Oxenreider, who talks about how to cultivate a sense of belonging when you move to a new place. And she talks about joining things like this, like a book club. And I think that's important for 2 reasons. I think it's important to know when you're starting a book club that it can be really powerful and almost like a service to people or a ministry to invite new people in your community, in your church, in other places, to your book club. Mm-hmm. Because it is a great way to meet people and make friends and feel like you're a part of something. And it's also a great thing to keep in mind when you move someplace new. Look for a book club. Start asking around. Ask online and see if you can find, even if they're not reading the exact kind of books you would want to read, it can be a great jumping off point to find friends.
Yeah.
And there's seems like an increasingly vanishing number of ways moms and women, but anybody can just get together to talk about ideas and to just have community, you know, outside of churches or like bars. You know, there's not really like the water cooler situation anymore.
Quilting, I mean, circle, washing clothes in the town square. Yeah, that. Like truly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that book clubs have an important place in our society.
Yeah.
Maybe more than they ever have.
I agree.
So if you're someone like me and you can't get out a lot of times to an in real life book club, I just want to throw out there that that's okay. You can still have some community. Of course, with us in our private Facebook group and with our Book Fair Book Club when we do that. And you can also join other groups. Like I'm in a group called Scholae Sisters that are wonderful. And you can start your own book club. And under the Scholae Sisters, part of the purpose of that is for people to do their own book club. So I've been wanting to read Dante for a long time, but I want my hand held and I want to do it with other people. So I threw it out there. Anybody want to read Inferno right now? And this is the kind of book club it is. There's always people that are like, yes, I would love to read Dante or Ovid or Boethius or these other people. I don't really know who they are, but I want to learn. So we're all kind of in that kind of place. So anyway, so I threw that out there and we're kind of really slowly reading through that. So there's other things out there for whatever, wherever you are, whatever kinds of books you're wanting to read, there's other kinds of groups out there too.
So I know our listener, Meredith, has been talking about maybe starting a book club this year. So Meredith, let us know, did this answer your questions? And if it didn't, if you have more questions, maybe you could come on and we could have another further discussion, how to start a book club, part 2.
Oh, I like it.
No pressure though, Meredith. So listeners, are you in an in real life book club? What's been your experience? What's worked and what hasn't for you? Maybe you're not in one, but you want to start one. Post about it in our private Facebook group. Listeners, if you're not in that, come on, the water's great. We can help each other talk about starting book clubs, or maybe you've done one for a little while, but you would like some tips or you want to give some tips to others. We can work on that together.
And until next time, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy book club reading. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
and you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.